Today we will continue in 1 Peter, this letter that we have, and we began this a few weeks ago, if you remember, and you know, it takes a little while to move through the scriptures like this, and that's okay. We got as much time as the Lord gives us, and when that's done, we'll be done with this study, apparently. But we've made it to chapter 2, and if you remember, the kind of the foundation of this, of all of this, has been this living with a living hope and a sure salvation. What does that look like? I like Peter's writing. Peter's very rubber meets the road, down to earth. This is what it is. Now, there's theology in here. There's all kind of stuff. It's not like Paul's writings, though. Peter's a fisherman, man, right? And he writes like a fisherman. And he writes incredible things as God breathed through the Holy Spirit. But it's this living hope and a sure salvation. How are you going to live your life today in light of what you know to be true of what is coming? I mean, we said this today. We confess this today in our Apostles' Creed. What? We know what's to come, don't we? I believe in the resurrection. I believe in Christ's resurrection, but I also believe in mine. Right? I know that there's something to come beyond this. So how am I going to live today? Do I have a hope that indicates that I believe that to be true? Is it living? Does it change how I live to know that there's a future out there beyond this world, and that future is with Christ? I mean, think about how many fears people live with today. That's not living hope. I'm just telling you, if you're afraid of what's going on all over the world, and my wife was mentioning that they had an earthquake. Where did they have the earthquake? Some earthquake close in Alabama, you know, and they're like, oh, here it goes. The New Madrid fault. And you're afraid of all of those things, you're not going to live with very much hope. Afraid of the bugs or whatever. I mean, it's like whatever the plagues of the earth could be, people have fears for, and then they make up stuff that they don't have enough to be fearful of. That's not living hope. Do you have a sure salvation? Are you resting in Christ's finished work, trusting Him, believing Him, or have you made a religion of your own, made a way of your own, that kind of thing, so that you don't have a sure salvation? And Peter is giving us things here of this is what that looks like. This is what it looks like to have a living hope. If you have a living hope, if you have a sure salvation, then you fear God and you love people. That was the first 2 weeks of this thing. And then you have remember those if statements? If you call Him Father, and then if you have tasted of the kindness of our Lord, what does that kindness bring about? It brings about repentance. So we fear God, we love people, but then we begin to be conformed to the image of His Son. Right? We're no longer going to continue in our sinful ways because that's not who we are anymore. So that's kind of where we've come to. As newborn babes, then we desire the milk of the Word. I want to know what God's Word says because God's Word informs my life today. It's not just a historical document. It is a document that God has given that is alive and is breathing and it teaches me. And it's got sharp parts in there too. And they carve off the pieces and parts of me that don't conform to the image of Christ. See, this is everyday stuff. He tells them, remember, we got to put aside all malice. Any sort of wickedness needs to be gone in our lives. If you call Him Father, if you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord, you're going to put away all that malice. You're going to put away all deceit and hypocrisy. You're going to live a holy life because He is holy. And if greater is He who's in you than He's in the world. He's in you. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So now what's being lived out is a life of holiness, a pursuit of holiness, a pursuit of righteousness. Not a righteousness by which I would justify myself, but righteousness that is indicated by the fact that I have been justified in Christ. It's our lives today. And so I'm going to desire, I'm going to come like a child, childlike faith, and I'm going to lay aside all of that stuff. All the old stuff that's going to, it's just going to burn up. And I'm going to desire the pure milk of the Word. Remember, Paul says, lay aside that old self and then put on Christ. We're going to receive, as James said, this in humility, this Word of God. How do you, what happens when you read God's Word? Do you read God's Word? Is there a desire to read God's Word, to see Him in His Word? Is there a desire then to be changed by that Word? Not just have a head knowledge of it, but that filters down into heart so that it begins to change who I am. Because that's what God's at work doing. And if you have this living hope and sure salvation, you desire His Word. It's not, don't tell me that, preacher. It's John chapter 3, the ones who have come to the light, who desire that everything that's been done in me, I want everybody to know that the changes in me are not because of me. See, I like darkness. Men love the darkness rather than the light, right? But I have been changed. I didn't do that. I didn't fix me. I didn't change me. I want everybody to know that all of the change in me, these works that have been done in me, have been wrought in God, by God. God's done the work, not me. And He does that through His Word. I know guys, we're a bunch of guys in here. How many of you, when you get a new project, do you take out the instructions and open them up and start reading verses? What's the first thing you do with them things? Now let me get this thing put together, right? That's kind of how we do it a lot of times. You know what? You can't live the Christian life like that. Here's your instructions. You got to have them. You got to have them. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of the other way. I'll take instructions and actually read them sometimes and put something together or fix something. Because I don't know. Now I've got where I'm doing YouTube, but it's a whole lot easier than reading. But see, this is our life. We're being growing like a newborn baby. We're growing on this Word and we're being changed. That doesn't change just because you become mature in your faith. You still have that same hunger and desire for God's Word, for His righteousness. Well, we're going to continue today. I think we read through the first 12 verses last week. We're going to read verses 4 through 12 today, and we'll work through these. Verse 4 says, "And coming to Him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. For those who believe, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble, because they are disobedient to the word of God. And to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you are building this house. Father, you are the one who has laid the stone. You, Father, are the one who built the foundation. You, Father, are the one who places within the body, even today, as you desire, and you are building up your church. Father, may we not lose sight of that. Help us, Lord, to work for your kingdom. Help us today as we teach this and preach this, Father. Give us right division of your word. Protect us from error. Father, be gracious to us and help us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, Peter says, we have come as a living stone. So kind of if you're outlining, you have a new way of living. You live in fear of the Lord. You love people. You're coming based on the kindness of our Lord. You are as a newborn babe, and now as a living stone. That is the fifth part. So these if statements are important to us in understanding, seeing ourselves in light of truth, but they can be disconcerting, right? Because if you think about it, man, if living hope, sure salvation, am I genuinely being fearing God? What does it look like to genuinely fear God? Right? I start to think about those things, and then I might be, maybe I don't. Do I genuinely love people? Do I just talk about loving people? Because that's two different things. That's two different things. Have I repented, turned to Christ, to the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, and thereby turned away from my sin? Have I come to him in total dependence? That's what it means to come as a newborn babe. In total dependence of Christ, to Christ. I mean, any newborn child can't feed itself, can't take care of itself, has no ability whatsoever to cause growth in itself. Do I come to Jesus that way? I got nothing, Lord. Change me, mold me, make me. That's the proper way that we come to Christ. Have I come now as a living stone? What is that going to mean? Well, if I think about this, man, I might start to be a little bit disconcerted, because I know that I love him. Do I love him rightly? No. Do I love him as I ought to? No. Do I love him at all? Yeah. Absolutely, I love him. I want to be changed by his word. But I could be concerned. So these if statements that we see in here, they can be disconcerting, and they can be dangerous too. If we judge ourselves too harshly, we might be crippled by doubt and insecurity. If we answer these questions too confidently in the first person affirmative, we despise humility and begin to rely upon what we have done or are doing. This state ends in disappointment. Here, Peter, as directed by the Spirit and reaching all the way back to Isaiah 28, he interjects the reality of everyone who is chosen of God to believe. And that reality is, God says, I lay. See, this is the most comforting thing in Scriptures to me, is to know that the sovereign God of the universe is the one who is at work. It's not based on me and my work. It's God's work. And he says, I lay. In verse 6, it's contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. God is the builder of his own house. He is the one who lays each and every stone, beginning with Christ as the cornerstone and placing each and every one as he desires. Your life being built up in Christ is a work of the Father through the Son. It's accomplished by the Holy Spirit. You're not the one that's going to make it or not. That's a huge comfort to me. Now, that does not relieve me of any responsibility. That's not what we're saying. But it's not me who's driving the ship. God is the one who is at work, and he's the one that says, I lay this stone. First and foremost, he laid that stone, which is Christ. We know, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, you are of God's household. This is verse 19. You're of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now I want you to show me in that verse where it says that I'm building this church. Show me in this verse where it says this is my church. You know what? I have people ask me this sometimes. And it's ever since I've been pastoring, I've hated this one question. How's your church doing? I hate that question. How's your church doing? And people don't get it when I go, first and foremost, it ain't my church. The church belongs to Jesus. It is his bride. He is her only owner. It ain't my church. Nor is it mine to build. I don't build the church. The church builds itself up together in love, according to Ephesians. We have all of these different gifts within the church to do what? The work of the church. You know that? You're not here to be a bump on a log. You're being built up. Paul says he gave some as apostles and teachers and preachers and all these other things, and he did that for what? Ephesians 4:13. This is what he's done. He's done all of these things. He gave some as apostles and verse 11, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. All right? As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted, what did God say? I lay in Zion a stone. This fitting of stones that's taking place. Here, Paul changes the illustration a little bit, but it's still talking about the fitting of the pieces and parts in the body of Christ. Here he says, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes, that's a strong, powerful word, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Did you see what that said? How does the church grow? How will this church grow? You get the right preacher in here? You got the right programs in here? How is the church going to grow? It's not rocket science, folks. It really is not. When all of the pieces and parts of the body of Christ begin to function as they were given to function. They start to do what they do. The leadership equips the saints for the work of service. Whose job is it to do the work of service in the church and in the community? The saints. All of us. And the leadership, the pastors, the teachers, all of that, they're to teach, to equip. So that people will go do the work of service. This is different, man, than what the world wants to see in the church. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith. When we are of one mind as one body, as we're protecting, diligent to preserve the unity that God gives us by His Holy Spirit, then we'll begin to grow to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There is no limit to how the church can grow today. Now, look, we can look this and make an application here locally. But Christ is at work building His church, the bride of Christ, globally. What part do you play in that? Will you play a part in that? Because this is what God's at work doing. And when that begins to happen, then you don't have weird doctrinal stuff. You know what? It's funny. Do you know that there's supposedly some report that's about to be released about UFOs? Have y'all seen that? The government has been, and supposedly, I ain't even going to say that part. That's kind of silly. I don't even know if that's true. But there's a report that's supposed to be released, and somebody gave some preachers a heads up about it. Because apparently it's going to be, there's aliens out there. So I don't know what this is going to say. And there, it's like, so what are you going to do? And I don't know if that's come. I don't know what's in that report. I don't know if it's coming. But let me ask you a question. What if the government came out tomorrow and says, we have evidence for the last 100 years of aliens? Here's pictures of these little green men. What's that going to do to you?
Life.
Huh? John said, I'm alive. Well, yeah. What's it going to do to you? Do you know what? That's going to rock some people's worlds. That's going to rock some people's theology. They don't know how to respond to that. And we talked about it this morning. You got Satan and demons running around all over the place. Has there ever been evidence of Satan appearing to mankind directly in contact? Well, one big one for sure, right? I mean, this is not going to shake us. We're not going to be moved by all of this weird stuff. But being fitted together, held together by what every joint supplies, by the proper preaching and the proper teaching and the continued worship of our God, by all that the church is, this building that God is laying the stones of, by each and every part supplying what it's supposed to supply, what's going to happen? The church will be built up in love. In love. This ain't a program. It's not a program that says, you know, fill the church in 12 easy steps. It's not a program. This is why. Do you fear God? And do you love the brethren? Because that is the only way that the church will grow. it builds itself up in love. Love for our Father, love for each other, love for our community, love for the people outside of these doors that are lost. And they're out there. Does my life, is it doing something about that? God says, I lay these stones, I lay the stones of the church, Christ being the one that is the chief cornerstone. But we're also rejected rocks. Verse 4 says, coming to him as a living stone which has been rejected by men. It is choice and precious in the sight of God. You know, when you look at the church, there's a lot of things that people look to and they begin to nitpick and immediately look at and they go, you know, the church is jacked up. Let me tell you something. The church, the bride of Christ, is not. The bride of Christ will be presented to him without spot in holiness. Now, the congregation, what we see of the church in the world today, does not necessarily represent the bride of Christ. This coming to him as a living stone which has been rejected by men. People look at the church today, even. They look at Christ and they're not seeing the beauty and the glory of Christ. They look at his church and they don't see that either. And they say, well, I got a better way, a different way. Not us. We've come to him as those living stones. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, God placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. You know, you're here for God's purpose, as according to his desire. I know. I got a will. I can go wherever I want to go. Yep, but you're here. Why are you here? You're here for God's purpose, for his glory, to serve in this body. And so, here we are. We're chosen by God, placed to be rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. The world looks at the church and mocks and laughs and has no concern, but know that your God sees you as choice, precious in his sight. That Lord of the Rings thing, precious. That goes through my head too. Today's just been a day of y'all finding out all the weird stuff that's in my head, right? But anyway, you're precious in his sight. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. It should bring us a sense of purpose, but it should also help us, each one of us, be encouraged to know that God's the one that's building the church. Look around. There's not that many folks in here. And it'd be really easy to go, well, we just messed all this up. I guess it's just going to die. You know what? It might. But none of this will happen apart from God's purpose. And God is the one who has placed you as choice and precious, not only in his body, in his church, but in this one. 1 Peter 2:4, coming to him as a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Rather than being offended by the word of Christ, we find him precious and we have come to him. We cherish him, we believe in him, and we are now being conformed into his image. The stone which the builders rejected now is our cornerstone. We too become rejected rocks used by the Father to build His own very dwelling. See, Christ is a stumbling stone. And just as assuredly as the Father places stones for His dwelling, He appoints doom for those who stumble on the stumbling stone. See, we have believed, right? For those who believe, what did Peter say? For those who believe, He's choice and precious. And we become choice and precious in His sight as well. We're built up as a spiritual house, but for those who don't believe, they stumble. For those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumbled because they are disobedient to the Word. Rather than coming as newborn babes to the Word of Christ, to the Word of God, they don't want that. They don't want to have that. And they're stumbling over Christ because they're disobedient to His Word. Not only do they not want to hear it, they certainly don't want to submit to it. And when you look at the church today, even within the church, people, they want to continue in their sin. They want to continue in whatever depravity they bring in and have everybody accept that. That's not how this works. We come to Him. He places us within the body. We become a part of His body, His church. He indwells us. Sometimes we sing these songs that I think are so silly. Come. He's already here. His Spirit dwells within us. The Spirit of the living God walked through those doors today in each and every one who believes. We need to trust Him to do this work. The world is looking, and they don't want to obey God's Word. And they see Christ, and what is it? Believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe that Jesus has taken away your sin. He is the perfect sacrifice, the Son of the living God. Believe. Well, they're not going to do that. They don't want to do that. They want to do their own thing. And because of that, they stumble. And the second hard thing about this one is, just as the writer says, I lay. God says, I lay. That word lay means to place. So it's like taking a brick, and I'll save y'all the being another brick in the wall joke, but it's the placing. It's not haphazard. It's not willy-nilly. It's a placing of that stone in the building. Those who don't believe, they stumble over the stumbling stone. Look at what this says. To this doom they were appointed. Now, they're not exactly the same word, but lay and appoint are slightly different words, but they have the same meaning. For this doom they have been placed. Look. For those who disbelieve, don't believe, whatever, however you want to say it, who won't believe in Jesus, they find Him as a stumbling stone. And the writer, Peter, says this is what they're placed for. Their unbelief. Their unbelief. They're going to be judged because they didn't believe in Jesus. This is what they're appointed for. This is what they're placed for. They're not placed in the body. They're placed in doom because they don't believe. You know what? There's a lot of churches today that are not believing in the one true Christ. I want to be honest with you. I didn't grow up in a tradition in which we made confession of faith every Sunday to say the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. I didn't grow up in that tradition, but I really, really, really like it. And I'll tell you why. Because I am not only saying verbally what I believe about who Jesus is, who God is, who I am, what He's done to make me who I am today. I'm not only saying that, but I am affirming it in my own heart each and every time. I don't want to stumble in my belief. I don't want to. I want to be one who is placed within this body, here, wherever, for God's purpose, for His glory. But there's a whole lot of folks, even in the church, they don't really believe this stuff. My wife teaches at a Christian school. There's a bunch of teachers teaching in a Christian school that don't even believe this stuff. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, you know what? Same thing's happening in the churches today. If I believe this, if I have a living hope, if I have a sure salvation, I'm going to live differently. And that's what we see Peter coming to here. There's a grace-filled word of encouragement that Peter gives, and we'll get to that next week, but it's but. See, those if statements, man, I can get a little bit anxious, maybe. But then here comes that word, but. That's the grace-filled word. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Isn't that awesome? Don't waver. Don't doubt. Continue to believe. Trust Jesus. He is the cornerstone. Don't stumble on this. Believe. Because the reality is, for you, you are a chosen race. Now we'll talk about what that means next week.